Hello, welcome to The Biscuit. I am your host, William Bartram. You have tuned in to the Enforcer of All Hockey podcast. Thank you for listening. If you guys could, please share the podcast. Don't be the cool dude on the street, hiding it, not telling your buddies. I would appreciate it greatly. Share it, spread the word, rate, review, all that good stuff, wherever you listen to it. And I'll keep pumping them out. Before we get into the episode today with Keyshawn Gervais, I would like to talk to you guys about Hairless Ape Conspiracy. It is a t-shirt company, better known, better and operated. And they have just great graphics, great tees, great mottos on them. Love those guys. Been working with them for a long time. Use the promo code BISCUIT10 at checkout. Save yourself 10% off. And their website is hairlessapeinc.com. Go follow them on all their social medias under Hairless Ape Conspiracy. They do a lot of cool stuff on there. Also, head over to parkersplatoon.org. It is the nonprofit organization started by Stanley Cup champion Scott Parker, designed to help one veteran at a time with a particular focus on wounded combat veterans. They are doing great work over there at Parker's Platoon. Proud to be with them. Head over to parkersplatoon.org. See how you can help today. I am a proud ambassador of warroad.com, War Road Hockey Apparel, owned by Stanley Cup champion TJ Oshie. And they have high quality hockey gear, casual, you know, training. Now they're getting into game stuff, so like sweaters. They have backpacks, water bottles, stickers, flags, all kinds of cool shit. Head over there and find something to wear. Maybe find something for your dad on today, being Father's Day. And maybe you forgot because you're a shitty kid. And as always, we are brought to you by HockeyFights.com. That's HockeyFights.com, where you go to watch hockey fights. Maybe after this episode, head over and watch Keyshawn's hockey fights. They are very entertaining. All right, party time.
Now Probert got the right hand free. He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate, and down goes Nylund, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt!
It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way.
The Enforcer of All Hockey Podcasts. It's The Biscuit. It's The Biscuit.
Damn it! That school regulation size of what?
The Enforcer of All Hockey Podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. There's a country we'll stop working on so Batman's fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's The Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, buddy.
Skate yesterday, then did a pretty vigorous workout today, and now I'm just relaxing for a little bit.
Bro, I talked to you yesterday. I said we were going to get hammered. Me and my wife went out. We never get to go out. It's like once a year. Dude,
yeah.
I am beyond hungover, man. I've just been dying today, dude. We were fucking crushing Jaeger bombs. We're 33 years old. There was no reason for it.
Well, hey, a good time's a good time, though.
All right, Biscuit listeners, today I'm joined by Keyshawn Gervais. He's been playing in the dub the past year. I came up with a new nickname for you. I'm going to drop it when you see if you like it, but I'm thinking Uppercut City, man, UPC.
Uppercut City, I've never heard that one before.
Dude, you throw that uppercut in those fights like it's second nature.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know where that comes from. I never really got taught how to uppercut. It was just kind of instinct. And then I went back and watched some fighting videos of my dad back in the day. And I was like, oh, well, there it is.
Yeah, man. So did your dad play hockey then?
Yeah, my dad got drafted in the second round to the Prince Albert Raiders. And then he ended up breaking his femur, kind of messed him up for the rest of his career, and then he ended up playing in LeBret in the SJHL. But yeah, he was a really tough guy when he played, and then that got passed down to my brother, who played 5 years in the SJHL, He won an RBC Cup, was the captain for the team for a few years, and then next up, I guess, was me, and I don't think anybody expected me to be a fighter, but I couldn't go into junior being 5'8", 150-some, getting pushed around, so I had to stick up for myself, and I didn't want to be the odd one out in the family that didn't fight. So.
Well, you absolutely take zero shit on the ice, man. It's one of my favorite things about your game. It's like, you wouldn't think, like you said, being just 5'8", 150 pounds, like, oh, this guy's not going to do anything. But, dude, you don't take any guff, man, and you're ready to go, man. I admire it, man.
Yeah, I knew when I came into the league last year, I wasn't going to stick around solely based on my skill because I just wasn't there yet. I wasn't developed there yet. So I knew I had to make an impression some other way. And with that, I knew the skill would come as I go on. But yeah, I don't like getting pushed around. I've never liked getting pushed around in school, so I don't think I'd like getting pushed around on the ice in front of 10,000 people. So,
so yeah. Would you have six fights this year in the WHO?
Yeah, I think six or seven. I'm pretty sure I was tied for second.
Tied for second in the league, and what, McNeely was first, wasn't he?
There's a bunch of ties. There's about 10 of us who had the first and second position. A guy on our team, Nick Chichek, actually, I think was tied for first as well.
Now, what's the rule? Is it 10 and you get suspended or something like that?
I actually have no idea. I'm not sure if there is a limit or if there isn't. I just, I don't know. Whatever happens, it happens. I don't really think of it.
Dude, that's awesome. That's the way to do it, right?
Yeah.
So, was it like a dream of yours to go play in the WHL as a kid?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Ever since I was, I think, 8 or 9, I went and watched the Saskatoon Blades game. And,
yeah.
I fell in love with it, but it was kind of weird thinking back on it. The first game I went to, it ended up having some pretty bad refs, and you know, the game ended by fans throwing stuff on the ice every stoppage of play because they were playing the Wee Kings. It was a pretty big rivalry back then,
mm-hmm.
And there's a few bad calls made. And next thing you know, I saw thing of popcorn get thrown on the ice, and then I saw some donuts and then drinks, and everything was getting thrown on the ice. But yeah, I've always wanted to play in the WHL. I kind of thought about college, and then I kind of realized I wasn't the smartest person in school, so but yeah, I definitely did think about college though, knowing that I'm short and you know, I'm kind of skilled. So back in midget, I felt like that was the route I was going to go. But, here's something a little interesting. So I got drafted by Portland, and then I went to the first two camps. Then after my second camp, I got sick with strep throat.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent me back, and I kid you not, a week later, the season didn't even start. They dropped me, so I had a full year where I wasn't with any WHL team. And I ended up having a really good year. We had a pretty good team that went to the finals in mid-AAA, so I played on the PA Mentos. And then I was going into my first year junior with York, and I was like, hey, I'm going to go college, unless Portland calls me back, because that's the only team I want to go to, because I really want to, you know, prove it to them. And then I got a call in the off season asking if I'd come back, and ended up going up there and signing. But they sent me back. I played a season in Yorkton, and then came up this past year in Portland, and you know, never looked back.
Was it nerve wracking to go and, you know, come to the States and play and you know, have, like, how was your build experience? Were you nervous at all, or were you just excited to get in there and play?
I was pretty excited. It was a change moving 19 hours away from home, but
right.
You know, I moved away from home to play hockey when I was 13. So I honestly, everyone asked me if I got homesick. You know, I obviously missed my family, but I loved every minute in Portland. There wasn't a time where I felt homesick or I was like, oh, I need to go home. Like, no, I just loved every minute of being able to play in the Western League, and you know, that was my dream. And I went in there with the mindset that, hey, I pack all these clothes and I'm not coming home, and I'm going to do whatever I can to stay here.
The Bill experience to me is absolutely fascinating, man. You're like, just young men going out and then going to a different city, like you said, 19 hours away, and then a different country completely too. And then I wonder, like, is there any time for you to go out and, you know, experience Portland, or is it, you know, hockey, train, school, sleep, basically?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a lot of time. We start out our day, because I graduated the year prior to, I graduated high school the year before I went to Portland.
So, oh, okay.
So we have a college class that starts around, I think, 9 to 9:30. And then I think it's 9:30. And then after that, we do our workouts at 11 to 12. And from there, we do lunch. So some guys will go out and get a quick lunch for half an hour, and then the high school guys will kind of roll in. And then after that, we'll have our practice from 1:30 to 3:30, sometimes 3:30. And then from there, you have from 3:30 to 11 to kind of explore Portland, go to the mall, go to Topgolf, whatever you want. So it's not like we finish a day at like 6 or 7 where you're just dead tired.
Yeah.
Don't have any energy to go out.
Do you have do you rent a car down there? Does your billet family provide you with one, or you just have to use like public transportation?
Some guys drive, like, next year I'm going to drive, but I didn't have a car last year.
Uh-huh.
The team will assign you, a ride, like, another player that lives in the area with a car. So everyone's kind of riding with somebody else, or if you have a vehicle, you and your roommate kind of ride together. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. So obviously you grew up playing hockey with your dad, you know, making it pretty far. Did you guys play a lot of outside hockey being, you know, it's absolutely freezing cold where you live all the time?
It was some very cold winters. I think it was minus 40.
Woo!
Sometimes. But my dad, obviously, here and there we come up, but the biggest inspiration was my brother, because he was really good. Going into junior, he ended up getting told by some teams, ironically, you know how it goes in the LEHL draft, that they were going to take him, and then he ended up not getting picked. So I saw how hard he worked after that, and we spent countless times playing mini sticks and playing outdoor hockey, and he'd always show me tricks on just different moves to do. And then I remember when he was in, I think, Bantam, he was already fighting, so I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like, one day I'm going to beat him up, but I still think he can throw me around.
So you guys were just hockey obsessed, just hockey all the time?
Yeah, we came from a hockey family. All of our uncles played, and we grew up on a reserve, so we both had that motivation that, hey, me and you, we're both hockey players, and we're both going to make it off this reserve, and we're going to be successful. And you know, looking at his track record, he's a national champion junior. He'll always have that
uh-huh.
under his belt. And, you know, I'm playing in the Western League chasing Memorial Cup. Last year we had a pretty good chance, but obviously COVID. But everyone said we weren't supposed to be good last year, and this upcoming year is supposed to be our year. So I'm looking forward to next season.
How heartbreaking was that for you, the guys in the room, to, you know, turn a team around that, you know, like you said, nobody was expecting much, and then, you know, really getting ready to go and get ready for the playoffs there at the end of the year, and it just kind of cuts short in a weird way.
Oh, yeah, it definitely sucked. You know, it was the way everything went down. It was so fast. It went from people just talking about being in China to, oh, geez, now it's in the States, to the NBA getting canceled, and then you know, we were getting ready to actually go play a game. We just did an 8 a.m. Session,
mm-hmm.
like a little pregame skate. And we were supposed to go to, I think it was Spokane. And we got off the ice and they're like, hey, guys.
Everything's different now.
yeah, they're like, hang up your gear because, like, we might not be going.
Wow.
And then they're like, hey, just go get something to eat and we'll meet back here in an hour and a half. And we came back and they said, yeah, we're going to be canceling the game today, and we'll give you guys an update in the next few days. And then 2 days later, I had a plane ticket home. So, yeah, it was definitely heartbreaking just knowing the way we gelled, knowing the chance we had to win a Memorial Cup. We were first in the league, and I felt so bad for the 20-year-olds that it was their last year, and that's how it had to end. But
yeah, with those guys in particular, man, so, you know, the guys that won't play, you know, competitively ever again, really, it's like, you know, that was their last chance at, you know, raising that cup. That really sucks.
Yeah, I just felt so bad for them, knowing all year they were talking like, hey, boys, I've been in this league for 5 years, never really had a whiff, this is our year, and then seeing the pain in their eyes when they got told that the year was over.
Now, you said you grew up on a reserve. What does that mean?
So I grew up on Kiskis First Nation, so it's a native reserve.
Got you. So it'd be like a reservation down here. It's like the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, a reservation. Yeah, I grew up from the time I was about 4 to 13. I went to school there. I played hockey in a town called Kamsack, about 15 minutes away. Where I actually met my best friend. He's playing in Swift Current. And ironically enough, his dad was a cop, so he moved away when he was 14. And then when he was 17, I ended up moving to Prince Albert, where he moved in. They took me in as a billet, and they had one of the best years of hockey there. But, yeah, growing up on the reserve, you know, there's not many people who make it out successful, so I definitely wanted to be a role model, and I'm definitely proud every time I come back, everybody giving congratulations and treating me like a rock star when they don't have to. So, yeah, it's definitely nice, and I'm definitely proud of where I come from.
Is it one tribe then on the reserve?
There's different kind of, I guess, tribes we call them. So there's like Cree, Navajo. Like Navajo would be in the States and stuff like that.
But, yeah,
we're Soto. So in school growing up, we'll teach you the language and everything. And I kind of forgot a lot of it when I moved away when I was 13, but I still know some words and, you know, some of the elders speak it, but nowadays I think they're trying to bring it back. And, but yeah, there's about 500 people on that reserve because it was all spread out in such big land. So yeah.
Is hockey big on the reserve?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
No, they're trying to put some teams together. Like, everyone loves hockey, but you know, a lot of people just can't afford it on the reserve. So
right.
I was fortunate enough to have a family that had a really good job, and they pushed me so hard to keep a good head on my shoulders and go on the right track. And you know, they didn't overdo it, and they weren't crazy. They didn't make me train every summer. They just wanted me to do what I loved. And you know, I had the support of the whole reserve once I started making it further and further. So there's some senior teams in native tournaments and stuff like that, but no, it's not like you'll see 3 or 4 guys every year going to junior or even playing the next level.
Man, that's really fascinating. The reserve has the same issues, I would assume, than like down here, where, you know, there's not a lot of money, not a lot of jobs. People have, you know, substance abuse issues on the reservation.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a big problem. Like the substance abuse and alcohol abuse. I wish I could say I have the cleanest reserve, but honestly, I really don't. But that still doesn't change the fact that, you know, I love where I come from, and everybody,
right,
no matter what issues they're going through, they always have your back, and they're always supportive. So,
well, dude, that's awesome that you go back and, like you say, young kids, you know, recognize you and go, oh, he plays in the Dub. That's really, you know, it shows a light that there is a way out and something to reach for. So hopefully, you know, those kids can pick up mini sticks and start playing too, and, you know, try to do something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was my main goal. I honestly barely went back because I was so busy with hockey the past few years. But And in Christmas break last year, I got to be a public speaker at school. They played a nice little montage video, and then
just you dropping uppercuts on people.
Yeah, there was a couple fight dudes. And then I was like, oh no, I hope I don't get any kids suspended at recess trying to practice hockey fights here.
Well, that's really cool. Is that something that you're looking into more? You know, coming on the podcast, doing speakings like that. I know your Instagram, you're really vocal and with Black Lives Matter and everything too. Is that something you think that you wanted to keep doing? Is that something you're interested in?
Oh yeah, 100%. After, you know, if hockey doesn't end up working out, which I'm praying it does, I don't feel like I'm going to be done anytime soon.
You're just heating up, right, buddy?
Yeah, exactly. But I honestly want to be like a Paul Bissonnette type guy that after hockey's done, he goes straight to media.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do feel like I have that kind of internet personality, and that's the kind of guy I want to be. So yeah, I definitely thought about even making a podcast with either my brother or buddy in the future and just shoot the shit.
Do it, dude. Do it. It sucks sometimes, but you'll absolutely love it. And you just keep trucking and just talk, man. Like, you and your brother hanging out talking, people would love it.
Yeah, I think I've been on – this is my third podcast, and every time I get to go on one, it's so much fun. I love it. It's a good way to, you know, spend some time with some guys and gain new information. And I fall asleep to Spittin' Chiclets every night, and every time I'm on a long road trip, I'll throw on a few episodes, even if I've listened to it or not, because it's just so nice to like hear other people,
right?
You know, talking about everyday issues, and NHL players just like showing that they actually have a personality and they're not robots.
Right. That's my favorite part of listening to, like, say, Chiclets or, you know, John Scott's podcast, the Fourth Line Voice Five for Fighting, and the other ones I listen to. But it's hearing those guys who played and their stories and their personalities, because it's so much of the interviews and everything you hear, it's like almost, I don't know if they're afraid to say anything or if it's just easier for them to just drop the, you know, like back check, forecheck, you know, all the guys. So yeah. One team, like, it's going to be important for you to continue like having the personality, and even fighting, I think it gives you a little bit more interest. Like, it's not just a guy who, there's like another element to you, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. I've kind of, I used the, I got some heat from this in the league, but I used that TikTok platform.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up getting, I think now I'm at 52,000 followers on it.
Damn, dude. But
yeah, I ended up kind of blowing up on that. And I've been using that to show that, hey, I'm just a regular guy like a lot of you. And, you know, I'll go to, like, say, Kelowna, and I'll be sitting down in my seat, and guys, like, little kids will come up and, like, oh, hey, you're that guy from TikTok. So
what do you do on TikTok? It's something we wanted to do. I talked to my wife about it because she runs all my social media, and I'm like, am I supposed to have one? Am I too old for it? I'm only 33, but I'm like, am I too old for TikTok? Like, what? Nobody wants to see me dance.
TikTok. Honestly, I tell everybody this. I hated the idea of TikTok like last year.
Uh-huh.
And my buddy was like, hey, like you should get the app. You don't have to make videos, but like just watch. And then I was like, oh, well, I see an opportunity here because anybody could honestly come famous off that. So I was doing like these transition videos where, see, I'd do a backflip and I was in one outfit, and when I landed, I'd be in another. And then I started doing hockey videos, and that's where I kind of took off. And I just do like hockey stereotypes and just little funny hockey videos, and that kind of caught the attention of a lot of people because they noticed I did play in the Western League. So they were like, oh, hey, like this guy's actually like, he actually has a personality. He's actually showing that he's a regular dude. So I kind of just been running with that, and ended up helping me become a little bit of a fan favorite in Portland, because they're like, oh, hey, like nobody else has this, like nobody's reaching out, and like I'll respond to a bunch of comments and kids asking for advice when I need probably ask them for some advice too, even need it. But yeah, I've just been using that.
Dude, that's really cool.
Get my social media out there, yeah.
It makes it it's going to make your star bigger, and then it's going to get you more fans and people behind you too. You know, playing in Portland, being a dude who drops the gloves, having a popular TikTok, and reaching out and responding to people or kids who are asking, you know, questions, it's going to make it like they know you, like your friends or something. You know what I mean? They're going to be behind you more. I think that's a really good idea, especially if you want to get into media, you know, sprinkling it in with your hockey career. I think it's really smart, man. You got a good head on your shoulders for, you know, what are you, 18? You're on the right track, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. I took some heat for that.
For the TikTok?
Yeah, I took some heat from that
from the boys?
Some of my teammates, and I got it from a lot from guys around the league.
Oh.
I actually made a bet. Our captain was like, hey, if you don't blow up on this app, you're paying a $100 fine at the end of the year. I was like, okay, like, what's blowing up in your
right, what are the parameters here? Like, so what was yeah. the limit?
He wanted me to have 5,000 followers.
Oh, shit. You blew that away.
Yeah, and I think I had that in 2 weeks. So
damn, dude.
Yeah, but after that, I took some heat from guys around the league, and then I started fighting more and more. And then
as I started fighting,
it kind of died down.
Yeah. Well, you know, when they chirp you with that, it's like, well, how do you know I have a TikTok? So, I mean, obviously you have one, and you're looking me up, dude. What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, once it gets out there, everybody's gonna use that as ammo. Like, I knew what I was getting myself into.
Well, I know I got a lot of guys in the dub who listen, so they're if they didn't know before, they definitely know now.
Oh yeah, I don't think there's a team in the dub that doesn't know I have the app. So
yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, I was out on my Revolution board, and so I was like, I told my wife, I was like, grab a camera, and so I put on I have a button-up Labatt dress shirt, put on my Labatt hockey jersey, my Labatt hat, cracked open a beer on the balance board, and took each layer off until I was, you know, tarps off at the end, sitting there chugging my beer. I thought it was pretty funny, but...
Oh, that's awesome.
It's got a couple hundred plays over the weekend. But that's something I could do on TikTok, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I'm not too sure if you can have liquor in a video because it's...
Oh, see, I'm already kicked off. Damn, I didn't even get started.
You might just get hit with a community violation, but yeah, I've gotten a few of those.
So what is it, like their algorithm searches it, or somebody will complain about it, or maybe both?
Kind of both, but their algorithm usually... Like they I don't know how they, like view every single video because there's... almost a billion users on the app, but yeah, like once you post a video, it gets reviewed like right away, right before you get posted. So yeah,
it's funny how those things work. Like I'll have certain episodes where I'll talk about like just crazy shit, like maybe even aliens for like a half an hour, just going off the rails. And I'll go,
yeah.
I'm like, man, I can't put anything in a description about that. Or like, oh, I said flat earth, so they're going to delete this off of here. Like, now this one, I just said it. I'm joking. But
yeah, exactly.
It's weird how it works, man. They just like choose like keywords and hot words and whatever. And just because there's no way they're listening to every episode of mine. It's just like almost 200 episodes, like well over 200 hours. There's just no way.
Yeah, exactly. There's not a chance they can go back and hear every single thing you say. So, especially with all the other episodes there are.
Dude, but definitely start a podcast. If you need any help with it, hit me up. I'll get you in the right way, steered in the right way.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think we're going to look into that more and more.
So, you're back home, and everything's been closed for a while, but you were saying you've been able to train and you're getting on ice now?
Yeah, stuff's starting to open up. Actually, I moved to Saskatoon this summer for training.
Yeah.
So I'm doing some, I got this like home gym type thing with the exercise band. So I've been doing that, and then some cardio out in the parks that we have here in Saskatoon. Then on Friday, I just started skating with Jordan Tratch, and he works with, a lot of semi-pro guys. He works with like Nugent Hopkins, Jake DeBrusk, some guys like that. So I ended up skating with him, and there's a bunch of guys from our league in the session. So yeah, I definitely see a good summer coming up for training wise.
Are you focused on anything in particular, or just trying to grow your whole game?
I'm kind of focused on like just making decisions quicker and using my skill, because growing up I knew I was a skilled hockey player.
Uh-huh.
And then going into junior I kind of got shafted that opportunity to show it. I got buried on the fourth line and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna start fighting. And then, you know, that kind of took off for me. I went to Portland. I was like, well, it worked last time, and if I'm gonna get put on the fourth line, I'm just gonna be working my ass off and doing whatever I can to stick around. And then at one point they told me, hey, we brought you in, but we didn't bring you in as a fighter. Like, you're a skilled player, just continue working on your game. And you know, that's one thing, but I also want to go into the league next year feared, and you know, that's one thing I'm also gonna be working on this summer.
So were they not happy that you were fighting, or was it just like, hey, you don't have, like, what was the consensus, you think?
It was kind of mixed emotions. I remember we were down, I think, 2-1. The first game I ever played in Portland, I ended up fighting this kid I fought in preseason, and it was center ice in front of 10,000 people. I ended up, ended up winning.
Was it the Lies fight?
It was against Justin Lees. And the crowd was going nuts. We ended up scoring after that, gained momentum, and ended up winning. And I was kind of nervous because our coach, Mike Johnson, he's not a huge fan of fighting.
Uh-huh.
But after that, he ended up calling me out for getting the momentum, and I ended up getting the player of the game hat when all I did was fight that game. But then towards the end of the year, he kind of told me, hey, you know, we don't need you to fight every game, so, like, you can tone it down a little bit with the fighting. He told me and a few other players that. So it's kind of mixed emotions between, like, the players love it, the fans love it, some of the coaches love it, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's what the big man wants.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, maybe there'll be a different coach, but like you said, when the time calls for it, it's good to have that in. And that's something that, you know, in that, say, even that game, I think this is something where people who don't like hockey fighting or say it's pointless, I absolutely disagree with them, because it's like that game, there's no stat sheet that says momentum changer, which you had. And then, you know, the game changed completely, and then also got, you know, more eyes on you and people knowing who you are too. And the fight was awesome. It was a good, entertaining fight, which makes it even better. You know, there's some snoozer fights where you're like, oh, that was a waste of everybody's time. But that, dude, that, a lot, I think I would say all your fights are very entertaining fights, man.
Yeah, I don't like to, tie up, hold the guy out, and just get tired. Like, when I'm fighting, I'm fighting to hurt. Like, I'm going to be doing whatever I can to beat the person I'm going up against, because, I mean, I'm 5'8", and there's not many times I'm going to be fighting somebody that's as short as I am. So,
mm-hmm.
I think I fought a guy that was 6'5", and I went in there thinking, like, hey, like, there's going to be one guy going on the ice, and it's not going to be me. So I try please the crowd every time I can, and, I think I catch people off guard with my quickness when I fight.
Yeah.
Throwing this, like, as fast as I can, and then at the end of it, if I hear the crowds cheering, I'll kind of try to wake them up a little bit. And then, you know, when you hear the crowd roaring at the end of the fight in Portland, you know, that's when you did a good job.
Is there any better feeling? I mean, obviously scoring goals rules, but winning a fight like that's got to be pretty badass.
Oh, yeah, the adrenaline's definitely going. I think it was my first fight, that fight against Lees.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of did a celebration after a fight, which is looked down upon sometimes, but it was just like a pump the crowd up thing. And I don't think I've ever heard a building so loud before. So then after that, I was just sitting in the penalty box, and they announced my name after the fight, like, go penalty to number 20, Keyshawn Gervais. And the crowd went absolutely nuts. I was in shock. I had chills down my spine. So I was like, okay, this is one of the best feelings I've ever had in my life.
Now, I don't know if you've ever had this description of it, though, but it reminds me a lot of Wendell Clark, the way you fight. It's kind of grabbing, just throw, like a savage animal, dude, just throwing as fast as you can. And he wasn't a huge guy either, but that's who it resembles to me.
Yeah, I can't say I've seen too many of his fights.
Oh, buddy.
But yeah, I definitely need to go look at some, but I honestly, I don't even know who I fight. Like, one guy I look up to, I know I'll never be able to match him, but Ryan Reeves.
Uh-huh.
If you see the fight against Regina, I think that's where I kind of, like, had a fight just like him. He was where he's throwing haymakers and they're connecting everywhere, and that's one thing I'm kind of proud of is my accuracy, my right hand. That's something my brothers taught me. So, yeah, with that, that's kind of who I try to be like. And then just whoever's, I don't know, quick and agile. Because I remember just doing little fake boxing, and then I'd be dodging punches. Like, me and my brother would fake hockey fight. I was dodging punches when I was like 8. So I guess that's where that instinct might have come from.
Well, I was watching some of your fights yesterday. And I think I even commented on one on hockey fights where it's just like your head momentum. I was like, man, he's either the like got a horseshoe up his ass and he's lucky, or like you're so quick that your head, you're always dodging, man. It definitely helps you in a hockey fight for sure. So that's something, that you work on.
I wouldn't say I work on. Well, sometimes I do if I'm like in on the punching bag, I'll like do head movements, but I kind of think it's just, you know, some guys when they fight, they're so amped up that they're not thinking. But when I'm fighting, I'm seeing where the guy's throwing, and then I'm trying my best to punch under the guy's visor if his helmet's on. And if not, I'm just trying to connect every punch that I have.
Yeah, man. Yeah, your head movement's great, dude. When you, after this podcast, get on YouTube and watch, put in the Wendell Clark Metallica video, it to Hero of the Day. Dude, it'll make you want
to... I'm on my PS4. I'll search that up right now. I'm already on YouTube.
Dude, it'll make you want to drive a car through a wall. It is... I'll watch it every couple days just to get amped up. It is so badass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I found it.
Yeah, click that thing, dude. It is incredible. He is a bad mamma jamma.
Oh yeah, this looks like a good video. I can't wait to watch this.
Oh yeah, I think he's from Saskatoon, I think too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Wendell Clark's a good old sassy boy too. So.
Well, he definitely played for the Blades, right?
Yeah. I think he did.
That's awesome, man. That is awesome. And like looking at your stats too, you're not a dirty player by any means because you only had 38 PIMs but 6 fights. That's like most of that.
Yeah, and one of my penalties was a diving penalty. I got blown up from behind. Like, guy cross-checked my back, and I like went almost head first in the boards, and they called the guy for cross-checking, called me for diving my first ever game in Portland. So I was pretty pissed off about that. But other than that, yeah, I was pretty happy because I, you know, taking a penalty as a rookie, nobody wants to do that. So I was pretty happy. I only had about 3 or 4 in 34 games. Or
yeah.
31 games, sorry.
It was 17 points and like, you know, fighting for the team, I'd say that's a pretty damn successful rookie year, man. Are you able to look back on it now and feel pretty good about it?
Yeah, I'm definitely really happy. I kind of look over that points per game. I'm like, damn, if I played every game on that pace, I think I would have had about 34 to 37 points. And I didn't get a point in my first 6 games. So after my first 6 games, I had about 17 points in 25 games. So, yeah, I was pretty happy.
Did it take you those first 6 games to just get used to the pace of that major junior there, or was it just kind of happened that way?
Yeah, I think I played one game out of our first 9. So it was hard to just, you know, watch the games and, you know, do the practices. And it just, I don't know, it wasn't really game-like. So, when I played my first game, I was kind of getting my feet wet. And then the next game was in Swift Current. I got to play in front of my family. They made the 5-hour trip, and I rung one off the crossbar. And after that, I was like, oh, okay, I feel it. And then, you know, I got sat for a long period of time again, and then it's kind of in and out of the lineup every 5 games. And I ended up getting my chance. And that's when I fought Luis. And then the next game, I ended up scoring, and then I think I had 3 goals in 4 games, and I think like 6 points in 6 games, and then just kind of went from there.
Yeah, man, that
That's awesome. And what was it like, you know, putting on that sweater the first time? You got the Portland jerseys are sick. One, that had to be a big moment for you as a young man and, you know, kind of living your dreams out.
Yeah, it was definitely a dream come true. I remember in preseason walking in the dressing room and seeing my jersey hanging up with my name on it and everything. It was like a custom fitted jersey. I was like, man, like I'm here. Like this team, not even 2 years ago, dropped me off their list, and now I'm back here trying to live out my dream in the Western League. If all I need to do is just go through one more preseason and show them that, hey, I'm here to stay. And you know, the first time I put it on, I was full of mixed emotions. The guys kind of left the room to go watch the other preseason games. I took a picture of my jersey for my grandpa, just like, hey, like I finally did it.
Yeah, man. Well, that has to feel good too, like being able to remove that chip from your shoulder. Like, yeah, these guys cut me. I'm back here. I worked it out and, like, you know, made the team. That had to feel good.
Yeah, that's after they dropped me, I had a chance to go to Regina camps with Kearns camps. I think Saskatoon, maybe. There's a few teams, but if my mindset was, hey, no, I'm going college unless Portland calls me, because I have a lot to prove there still. I didn't even scratch the surface, and I feel like if they give me another chance, I can make that team. And you know, they gave me another chance. I ended up signing, and then not even a year later, I was you know, playing with them and dropping the mitts.
Well, yeah, I think, dude, if you would have went to college, you wouldn't have been able to drop the mitts. So it's like those weird decisions in life where that one really worked out for you because you added this other element to your game, which makes you a very dangerous guy to play against.
Yeah, sometimes I think if I went to college, maybe I would have had more skill, but also wouldn't have had the exposure that I have playing 4 years in the SJHL, because after that first year, I knew I didn't want to go back. No, nothing against the SJHL. I enjoyed my time there, but you know, there's not many scouts, and if there are, they're all scouting for college teams. And I was already signed with Portland by the time I played. Actually got cut from Portland because they had another 18-year-old, and I was 16 turning 17. And then, you know, Cody Glass and Blickfeld came back, so they sent me back to Yorkton, and I went on the flight, and the next day we played in our game, home opener. I ended up scoring in front of my family in the same jersey. My brother was the captain for him on that championship. So
wow,
there's definitely a lot of memories there in Yorkton, but I definitely knew once the year was done that I wanted to take the next step.
What dudes on the team are you kicking it with all the time? Is there anybody you're really tight with in the room?
Yeah, definitely. We have a really tight knit group, so there's not just separate groups like a lot of other teams have been on. But some guys that are, you know, my best friends are, I kind of hung out a lot with Gabe Clausen and Mason Manick. Mason was my ride. You know, he drove me and my roommate everywhere we needed to go, and kind of developed a really good friendship. And Gabe, he's a 16-year-old this past year, and I remember playing in Prince Albert. He was about to get drafted, and I was in my second year of midget, and you know, when his season ended, he came up, and he was this shy kid, like playing up with this midget group for playoffs, and then he ended up getting drafted to Portland. And I texted him, I was like, hey, do you think I should come back to Portland? Him not knowing, he knew that I got dropped, and then I came back up and kind of surprised him without him knowing that, you know, I got recalled. But yeah, those two, and then just guys like Reese Newkirk, Jaden Durow, that I've known for a few years, and I got really close with Johnny Ludwig, our captain. So yeah, but there's not really too many specific guys. I'm kind of one of those guys that just likes to kick it with everybody. But I kind of had a hard time being liked at the very start by some of the older guys, because I went into camp and, you know, I was going after their 19, 20-year-olds. I was hitting them, and you know, when you're a vet, you don't want to be hit by a rookie coming in,
right,
and making the team. So yeah, within the first few weeks to a month, they weren't really like treating me
like I was, you know, one of their boys right away and best friends. Like I had to gain their respect back. But I think after I fought in preseason, like, okay, like he's kind of cool, I guess. I definitely just tried to be friends with everybody, and you know, that group we had in Portland was so special. And, you know, for the guys that are moving on, going and playing pro, like probably Hofer and Ludwig and like guys that will play in the A next year, probably Grecius, I don't know. You know, I'm going to miss them a lot, but they definitely taught me a lot on how to mature in the league.
Now, are you draft eligible now at 18?
Yeah, technically this would be my first draft year. And honestly, playing 31 games, I'm not expecting to get drafted. But every night that I did play, I definitely made sure that the scouts would notice me, whether it was, you know, showing a flashy, like, a skill here and there, dropping the gloves. And
yeah,
I got talked by two teams at the start of the year. It's like, oh, this is going to be unreal. But they sent those questionnaires to everybody. And one of the most motivating things for me in my hockey career, I think, was when 8 NHL teams came for a weekend to watch our practices and watch 2 of our games, and they came and kind of talked to a bunch of guys. They wanted to talk to every draft eligible team, and they grabbed every single draft eligible player except for me. And I thought that there was 7 teams there, and I think every player almost got talked to every team. And I was the only one like walking by the guys while they were doing their interviews. And I think that pissed me off so much. I definitely know for a fact that, you know, I'm not just a fighter. And I kind of got in contact with my agent. I was like, you know, what do I have to do to, you know, try crack a rookie camp or even go play overseas? Because I know for a fact that I am skilled and I can do that. And he just said, come to camp ready. Solidify your spot. You definitely showed improvement, and try to get 40 to 50 points this year, and you know, make it much easier. So that's definitely my goal going into this year, getting that exposure, because I do feel like I can in the future. Obviously not 19-20, but I feel like I can be a late bloomer like some guys in the league, and I definitely feel like if I put my mind to it, I can do it.
Oh, I agree, man. You had a hell of a year. What do you think, like, that's bullshit, dude, to be the only dude, like, what? Why did that happen, do you think?
I didn't know if it was the number of games I played or if it was because, you know, I was an 18-year-old already about to, like, because I have a late birthday, so, you know how Matthews, he missed the deadline by, like, 3 days or whatever, like, and then he got in the next draft, so, yeah, I was kind of, like, that was my, obviously I'm no fucking Austin Matthews.
Dude, yeah, did you hear he's got COVID?
Yeah, that guy, him and Nylander are actually my favorite players in the NHL. And when I heard that, I was like, what are, like,
well, so what are they going to do? Is he's not going to be able, like, so what, he has to self quarantine for 14 days and then retest again?
Yeah. That, like, when you're healthy though, he'll beat that so fast. Like,
oh yeah,
that
definitely.
Guy, I've heard that guy is an absolute party animal, and he was hosting a bunch of like house parties. Couldn't be true. Could be true. Could not be true. But you know, that guy, I don't know. He's definitely something else. Like I look up to that guy so much, and then I catch myself, I'm like, dude, this guy is only like 4 or 5 years older.
Well, you know.
But yeah.
It is what it is. You can't help who you admire. It's just like, yeah, we could, you know, basically the same age.
Yeah.
But, okay, dude, I'll never forget his first game in the NHL, man. I'll never forget that. Like, it was cool, like, because he's an American dude, so I already root for him, you know, just being a fan of where I live. And then he's playing in Toronto, and he fucking drops 4 goals on him. I was like, holy shit, dude. He was like, what, 18, 19 at the time? Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Well, I remember I was actually ironic. When you're a prospect, sometimes you get to go watch the games with the teams. And I was a prospect with Portland. It was right after my draft year. And I went up to Regina, and I was sitting with a few of the scratch guys, and one of the guys I was pretty close with from camp was like,
like Matthews scored his first goal. I was like, oh, sick. And then hey, Matthews got two more. He got a hat trick. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the like the game, he comes up and he's like, Keyshawn, like Matthews scored all four goals for the Leafs in his debut. I was like, there's no way.
Dude, we were in the living room. We watched it, you know, on purpose, like, because it's his game. Like, I'm not watching a ton of a Leaf versus, I think it was the Senators maybe games, but
yeah,
you know what I mean? But I was like, I'm watching this kid's debut. And I was like looking at my wife, I was like, holy shit, he has a hat trick in his first game. And I was like, holy shit, he scored again. Like, this is crazy. And he hasn't looked back since.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, like, I was a diehard Penguins fan growing up. And then after they won their last cup, I was like, okay, like, I'm going to see next year because, like, honestly, these guys aren't that interesting to watch anymore. And I love Matthews and Nylander. Like, nobody really loves, like, William Nylander. Nobody thinks that's their favorite player, especially after his holdout. But I don't know why, if it's the way he plays or whatever. But I just look up to Nylander. And, you know, I saw those two grinding it out with, like, Matt Martin and Marlowe and all those guys. Like, no, the Leafs are my new favorite team now. Like, I'm going to make the change. And then I took some heat after Tavares got put on the Leafs and signed with the Leafs. And like, oh, you're a bandwagon. I'm like,
yeah.
No, like, Matthews and Nylander are literally the reasons I like this team. And yeah, now I'm a pretty big Leafs fan. And after seeing that 4 goals a game, that was just ridiculous. And that's definitely something I will never forget.
And dude, there's no way he's not partying. Look at his mustache, dude. Like, there's no way the dude's not a party animal.
Oh yeah, that guy. Like,
didn't he get in trouble for mooning a cop or something like that too?
Yeah, he was wasting. He mooned a security guard at night.
Do you think this is? I really think that he was going to get the C before that happened.
Yeah, I was. I remember because I usually get an NHL Network to watch the Leafs because, like, I love watching them play. So I remember watching I think we had a game, and after the game, they were showing, like, here's your captains. And then Marner came out, and then Riley came out, and then there's two left. And then they said, introducing your assistant captain, Austin Matthews. I was so mad, but I was like, hey, well, it's also John Tavares, and the guy mooned a security guard a few weeks prior, so I don't think he's getting the C after that. But
yeah, I was shocked though. I mean, I really was. I thought it was a no brainer to give it to him. You know, him being young, and but I mean, it's Tavares isn't a bad choice either.
Yeah, he's probably one of the best leaders in the NHL too. So
I'm a Blue Jackets fan. So we're going to be going up against each other here, buddy.
No,
and I got to tell you, I don't think they got it. I don't think the Leafs are playoff ready yet, buddy. Think they're soft. I call them the brats.
I'm not even gonna argue with that. they're so fucking soft. They're, oh my god. I mean, if the playoffs relied on straight skill, the Leafs would win the cup every year, but
and they look,
don't have that grit.
It'll I'm not saying 1 year maybe they won't. Maybe 1 year a Stanley Cup team will just be a flashy skill. It just hasn't happened yet. You know what I mean? Like, the grit has worked in the playoffs every year for 100 years.
You just wear guys down. You hit. It's so fast-paced, and you're going every second night. So, like, you have to be ready to endure that. And, you know, you saw it with the Lightning last year.
One exactly.
Team had a lot of skill. The other team had a lot of heart.
Dude, you know, Tampa Columbus Bay came into that series going, we're going to fucking mop the floor with these dudes. They were arguably one of the best hockey teams ever. And dude, John Tortorella doesn't give a fuck, dude. That has nothing to do with him at all. Like, he doesn't care what your team is. Like, he has a plan. He knows those dudes in and out. He'll make a line change like that. He has no worries about it, man. That guy's game plan. So I really think that room, and they proved it. They thought they could beat them, and they did. And not only beat them in the series, but go out and sweep them like they did. It was just incredible.
Yeah, that was insane. I remember they're like, hey, Columbus won game one. I was like, oh, sweet. Then game two, I was like, wait, we might be on to something here. Then game three, I was like, holy shit. And then they made that comeback. And then game four, they won. And I was just like, I don't even know what happened at this point. Like, That's insane.
It was so funny. Before the series started, I was just talking shit on Twitter, and I was like, CBJ in four. you know, tweeted out. I was like, you know, I was like, hashtag, like, save this tweet. And everybody after the series was like, nobody picked it. I was like, dude, go back. I picked it. I was like, yeah, I was talking out of my ass, but I also picked it.
Yeah. And the icing on the cake, though, was Panarin trying to dap up Kucherov after they just swept him.
Yep.
And kind of looked at him like, get the fuck out of my face.
Man. Yep.
That was so funny. I love that.
Well, that's, I was scared when they were up 2-0 because the year before against the Capitals, they were up 2-0 and then ended up just – eating turds after that. I was like, oh god. And we're the only team that had never won a playoff series, and like, my wife's a Wings fan, so she's always just like, 11 cups, your team sucks, like, it's just like, oh my god, that's just a win a
if I've ever heard one. The Wings and the Blue Jackets, holy, dude. I've only known like two Wings fans, and you're probably the first Blue Jackets fan I know.
There's not honestly a lot of us, buddy.
No.
Well, my wife's from Michigan, so she grew up, you know, in the 90s when they were absolutely killing people. And then I liked the Leafs when I was a kid because of Doug Gilmore and Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey on 64. Gilmore was a fucking beast in that game, dude. So I was like, I was all about Doug Gilmore and the Leafs until Columbus got a team, and, you know, being from Ohio, I was like, I got to support my boys, and I've been a diehard fan since 2000.
Yeah, it's kind of like my brother. He was a Flames fan, and then Datsu came in the league, and he was a diehard Wings fan. And he was like, after Datsu and Zetterberg retired, he's like, I'm just going to scout some teams for some years. And then Vegas got a team, and shit you not, at the start of the year, he was like, I'm cheering for Vegas now, like, you're hearing it first, they're going to go to the Cup. And I was like, you're insane.
You're high. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Like, literally, I was like, go have another one. And they made it to the final.
How crazy was that shit? Like, oh man, I need hockey back on, dude. I need it.
Yeah. I was happy with whoever won the Cup. Ovi gets a Cup, or the first ever team to win in their first year. So it was a win-win for me. Then seeing Ovi hoisted, obviously, I was happier that they won.
Yeah, and then getting to see those guys party for 3 months afterwards was worth it for everybody.
My liver could never. Oh, my God.
Dude, those guys. Ovi winning the Cup was one of the best things that ever happened.
Yeah, 100%.
Dude, did you see his first pitch he threw out?
Pardon me?
Did you see the first pitch he threw out? Just wasted. Just.
My God.
Launches it over the catcher, dude. He just doesn't care. He just like grabs a beer and starts drinking. It's so awesome.
Yeah, that guy probably showed up to camp like smelling like a 40.
Oh, dude. Yeah. He had to have been sweating booze. Just sweating beer for sure.
Oh, 100%. I know somebody who said they won like the major championship in midget here, and then they showed up to the summer skate, and his bag reeked of booze. I couldn't imagine the Stanley Cup. Like, oh my god,
dude! I could never. I wouldn't know what to do. Like, you'd be like Ovi. You would just have to party your face off. Like, and his story with it too. Like, he finally fucking got it, dude. He had to have been just on cloud nine, man. Because that was always the thing, right? Like, Ovi doesn't have a cup. He'll never win a cup.
Yeah, exactly. Like, seeing that, I was like, well, like, he finally did it. He could solidify himself as, you know, one of the greatest players ever to win a cup as well. So,
yep.
You know, there's, like, when Jerome Iginla retired, he didn't win a cup, well, I think. No, I'm pretty sure he didn't.
He
retired and he didn't have a cup under his belt. That was just.
I think he missed it a few times, like, was like on a team, and then like the next year they'd win it. I think he was like always right around it.
Yeah. That's like Hossa. If, like, he lost with the Penguins, then he went to the Wings, then he lost to the Penguins with the Wings, then he went to Chicago and they were in the finals. Like, if Chicago loses this series, Marian Hossa will go down as one of the biggest, like, guys with the worst luck.
Just cursed.
3 years in a row losing, and then he won a couple cups with Chicago, so he's laughing.
What are your thoughts on the upcoming playoffs? Like, do you like the format? I'm glad they're doing it. Who do you like out of the West and out of the East? And do you think – because I keep saying, like, I hope a team wins it that has won it before, because I think this cup's going to be weird. It doesn't seem – like a normal cup run. But maybe maybe it will once it starts. But like I told my wife and my buddies, I was like, dude, watch Columbus win it this year, because then everybody will just tell us we have the fake cup, like, and it'll just ruin my life.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I think of it. I was pumped when I heard it, but then at the same time, I'm like, well, what does that mean for next year?
Right.
I think the format's pretty sick. It's going to be entertaining as hell. Like, there's probably going to be no fans, but it's still going to be entertaining as hell. Obviously, I like the Leafs. I think the Bruins are going to be an absolute powerhouse.
Yep.
Even though I fucking hate the Bruins.
Yep. Yep.
They're going to be a powerhouse. Philly was going in with some heat. On the West.
I think Philly took it the hardest because they were revving up, man. Philly was going to be very scary come playoff time. And who knows who's – I mean, there's going to be a team that catches fire. There's going to be ones that do worse than what we thought. You know what I mean? It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. Who are the teams that didn't make it? Like, there's Detroit.
Detroit, Ottawa, Buffalo.
Oh, do you know who I actually – I don't know if I – I don't like being one of those guys that has two favorite teams. Like, I would not classify them as, like, a favorite team, but – like, a team I love to watch is Dallas.
Like, they're great.
I love seeing Seguin, Ben, Haskinen, and Radulov. Like, that's just an entertaining team to watch. And if I catch my eye watching the team, like,
what was that,
I'm going to be hooked.
That Hintz kid this year, too, was on a tear. That Rupert Hintz. He was the shit.
Yeah. So them and another team I love watching in the West, like, absolutely love, is Colorado.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I'm like, Nathan MacKinnon is definitely top two or three players to watch, and honestly top three in the league for me. He's so damn fast, and he can make plays on a dime. And then, you know, Cale Makar, he played in the AJHL and then just went right to college and then scored in his first playoff game. Like, those are entertaining players to watch. So every time I get a chance to see him play, you know, usually I'll tune in just randomly. It'll be like the 11-minute mark, and you'll see MacKinnon flying up the wall with the puck, so you know it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, and they're lucky. They're, you know, with this format too, and the hold, because they'll be healthy, you know, which they hadn't been all year. Like, it seemed like two of those guys were always injured. So I would not want to play Colorado. I really don't want to play Boston at all. I think it'd be like that story too. Boston wins it, Chara retires, there you go, everyone in sports is happy, you know, blah blah blah. But Boston's nasty, man. Boston's really fucking good, and those, when Tuukka Rask is good, those guys are almost unbeatable.
Exactly. But at the same time, I can give you shits because I hate Boston and Chara and won a cup, so whatever. all those, but yeah, no, the thing with Boston is they're so damn good, but like the difference between them and I'm going to compare them to the Leafs because they beat them the past 3 years. The Leafs are so young and Boston is getting so old. Like,
yep.
Chara, Bergeron, Krejci and Marchand, those guys are like on the back half of their career. Chara's on the back.
He should have retired 4 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. But if you see that guy train, it's absolutely insane.
Well, he's in phenomenal shape still, and so, yeah, especially like, being such a big dude, he really hasn't deteriorated much. I mean, maybe it's the way he plays for whatever. He's still an effective defenseman.
Yeah, exactly. But in my opinion, for Boston, if they don't win a cup within the next 2, 3, 4 years, it's just going to be DeBrusk, Pasternak, and whoever, because Tuukka Rask isn't the youngest guy in the world either. He's getting pretty old.
Yes,
so
yes.
I'm just sitting here patiently waiting, hoping our cap problem gets fixed in Toronto, and just hoping we can make it past the first round one of these days.
Definitely, man. So, do you have any word of when you're able to go back to Portland? What's the rest of your summer looking like?
probably just a lot of training. I think the WHL released a statement saying they're aiming to start the regular season on October 3rd. So, you know, that still gives me a lot of time to be back home and train here, skate with a bunch of buddies, you know, shoot the shit. But, you know, I'm just taking it by ear and, you know, following whatever updates we get. Hopefully, you know, this COVID thing is slowed down so we can play a little bit of hockey, even if it is without fans. I just want to be out there on the ice. Obviously, like with teams like ours and other teams around the league, you need fans, like you need revenue.
Yeah.
So, I'm really hoping we can get that all sorted out. But in the meantime, I'm just going to be taking it day by day, working my ass off, and, you know, whenever I get on the ice, trying to improve my game.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you really can do. And so that would be a normal start to the season then, right?
Yeah, usually we do training camp and then a preseason tournament. And then after the preseason tournament, we get the regular season. But I think it's just straight from camp, like a minimized camp. Usually you'd have like, I don't know the correct number, but say 100 guys, you'll have 50 now. And now I think we're going right from preseason to regular season. So you have to be in shape and you have to be ready.
Well, buddy, I wish you the best of luck. I'm a big fan. I'm looking forward to watching you play. I don't get a ton of WHL games, but if I see, because the network will play every once in a while, but I'll keep my eye out for the Winterhawks, man. I wish you the best of luck, and I had a great time, man. Let everybody know where you're at on the internet and your TikTok and everything.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was fun. I knew as soon as I got that follow that this is a podcast I was going to listen to. I wanted to be on. So, yeah, thank you for having me.
Hell yeah, man. And then you're just Keyshawn Gervais on all the social medias?
I only use, honestly, Instagram, sometimes Twitter. But, yeah, just Keyshawn.Gervais.
Well, TikTok star, dude.
Yeah, thank you. No, this is a Hockey Fights podcast, so I'm not going to try and get my...
No, you don't want my mutant fans and listeners going over there, dude. You have a bunch of 35-year-old alcoholics on there that don't know what the hell they're doing.
If they want to go on my TikTok, I'll just put a hockeyfights.com link to my fights in my...
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Click on that, redirect them, give them a full 180.
Hell yeah, man. We'll keep dropping them, dude, and stay healthy. I'm a big fan, man. Best of luck to you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, have a good one, buddy.
You too. Bye-bye.